This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Claire from Condor, and you're listening to the Wheel Suckers podcast.
Please state your name.
Claire Beaumont.
Hey, Claire.
What do you do, Claire?
Yeah, what do you do?
I work for Condor Cycles in London, and I run the website and hold things together and help with general marketing.
Well, I've gone in straight with their 70 years of Condor.
Yeah.
Condor, you're old.
I think there are only maybe I can think of some brands that still exist that are older.
Brooks.
150.
Yeah, they're doing all right.
Pearson's.
They've got the Zimmer frame.
I think Pearson's are a bit older. Yeah, and there's not really any other brand that's continued to do the same thing for that amount of time.
And not been, like, bought out by someone else.
Moved
to China for manufacturing.
Or, like, if they started, like, Condor has always made bicycles and always made them by hand and always been, like, frame first. Whereas, like, maybe some other brands have started them and, like, digressed into being just general bike shops or there's a lot of stuff to go through at Condor. There's a room. Probably about as big as this room.
Imagine you, whatever you will, how big this room is.
3x5?
No, yeah. Make them imagine it.
Oh, sorry. 10x10. Meters, not
our
feet.
Our studio is massive. We're actually on a boat.
And in that room is just stuff from 70 years, catalogued in bits of paper.
Wow.
And you can just go in there and you can go through it and your hands go weird and like, with old stuff.
Does it smell? Does it smell?
You can yes. There's a penny farthing in the room.
What?
Wow.
Is it a penny farthing?
No, but I don't even know what it's there. There's bits of things like compact nano people would go mad because there's all these little things and drilled things and...
Sounds good. We have one of those at the moment. It's called the Room of Shame.
The Room of Shame.
It's just got a load of crap in it.
Oh. Or we just call ours the Box of Crap.
You just said what's exciting stuff's coming up at Condor.
Ah, so it's the 70th year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
you're 70.
This is how you do that plugging thing when you say
yes.
We're going to do 70 miles to Balls Pond Road, which is actually only obviously a mile away from Condor's new current location. But Balls Pond Road is the first place Monty had a workshop.
Oh, wow.
So we want to do
that's
a
like
ride.
That every day.
Yeah. And you can't see what it was. It was just like a workshop. So it's a no frontage shop. Condor's shops have always been on Grayson Road. We're going to do a ride maybe to North London round with some special guests from our team and then fire back via Balls Pond Road because that's where those frames in the 50s and 40s and 60s were made. And maybe one out to Essex and maybe one out west, so a couple of shop rides. We're putting our plans together for Condor Festival, which will be in the summer. And we have some fun little sort of special editions to bring out as well.
Just watch this space.
Yeah.
I'll put links below. Just follow you guys on social media and all that.
So just doing the Condor thing of making frames and
just crack on.
Yeah,
do what you
not trying to take over the world. Actually, that's not the aim. The aim is to do good products well, rather than just some
do everything.
Stuff. Yeah,
just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. How long have you been there?
I worked for 9 years.
Wow, that is a long time.
Yeah, no, I think it's really fun to work there, so you just keep work in Tesco.
Keep doing it. Yeah. That's a good reason to keep working somewhere.
Yeah. I mean, today Grant maybe gave me, that's our boss, he gave me maybe 4 hot cross buns, just kept giving me them.
And you're like, yeah, I'll stay.
I'm on sugar.
He's like
high.
Pushing across the door.
Yeah.
How about one more?
We have a question. How many people work there?
About 20 to 25. We'd have to count them on. And then there's another, say, 10 in Italy.
Okay.
That build the frames.
Cool.
Wow.
That would still be considered a small to medium-sized business, but it's a small business, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm definitely interested in about the frame building.
Okay.
In Italy, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, you guys still make everything there. Is it, what are you guys making? Is it just steel or?
It's everything. So what happened in 2004-05, we were making everything by hand in England. And funnily enough, like, there were no frame builders coming through. No one to be a frame builder in 2004-05. So basically the frame builders are getting older and older and they're like, we're going to retire now. Because it's not very fun to be a frame builder if you're just like working and, you know, it's not a high paid role. So back in 2005, everyone wanted to be in something else. And so they were pushed to move to Italy, where they still make by hand. And so there was lots of brands going from Italy to China. Chanargo, Pinarello, DeRosa. So there was a
factory. Really, they're all in China now?
I mean, I don't want to speak for other brands.
We're not going to get in trouble here.
But some of the bicycles, I think, that Chanargo make, maybe the Master is made in Italy, but all the other ones are carbon, so they, I think, most of them go made in China.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then there was a factory, and they were just going out of business, and they were making, like, instead, these really skilled people were making washing machine parts and things like that.
Wow.
So Condor took over that factory.
What?
It happened slowly at first. We have a model called Fratello, which means brother in Italian. And in England, we had the same model called Pendio. And so when we started making it in Italy, we called it Fratello because it's the brother. Because we were trying to say it's not the same. We couldn't make the models fast enough that people need that wanted them, even though they still wasn't considered that cool then. We still couldn't keep up. And so slowly and slowly, we just made more and more bikes in Italy and moved everything there.
That's awesome.
Steel, carbon, and aluminium. Obviously, now it's really funny because all of our frame building equipment, new frame builders are building with it.
Like,
if somebody's got some bit of Condor frame building kit somewhere.
What, you think it got sold off?
Yeah. I think somebody came up to us one year at the Bespoke show and said, oh, I bought this from someone. And then Grant was like, yeah, that must have been ours.
Wow.
Yeah.
Were you guys at Bespoke last year?
Yeah, yeah. There's some of the paint jobs are so cool.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that people have done, they've worked their whole, like, season on. Whereas we kind of don't really fall in the truly Bespoke category at all.
The hand built still.
Yeah.
Yeah, I met you at Bespoke. I think that's what I meant.
We had a good chat about Japanese cartoons.
Yes.
That's what I try and talk to everybody about.
Anime.
Don't think I've talked about it on the show. I won't now, but there's a really good cycling anime.
Yeah, that's what
because you'd seen it, hadn't you?
Yeah.
Yes, someone else had seen it. I was like, yes!
And then you showed me some more stuff.
Yeah, even though...
I think I had to...
Are there any condors in the Japanese anime?
They all have, like, the names have been changed.
The names have been changed, haven't they?
So it's like Glant and Shimomon. Do you guys just do bikes or what else?
Well, when Condor started, it was just the norm to do everything. Build a bike and then... Monty would sell in his shop, like, spares and the tyres and da-da-da and other brands of clothing. And I think Condor might have been one of the first people to stock Lycra shorts. And people were like, whoa.
What the hell is this?
Yeah, and they were like, why? So you're wearing silk pants to, like, people that ride for Condor. Like,
yeah.
They had the Lycra. Actually, I think I've got a picture somewhere and someone wrote it on John Herity's car, like, you wear silk women's pants.
Wow,
yeah.
Wow. And, when was this? Like 70s?
70s, like maybe 79. I know. It must have been weird though. If you see someone in like baggy.
You've never seen a woman's pants.
Yeah. Shiny.
I'm so used to it now.
It must have happened in like other sports, like in the Olympics.
American footballers were really tight.
Oh, yeah.
Really tight leggings. But and swimmers were Speedos.
Yeah.
That's proper Lycra pants.
They were just jealous, I think.
Anyway,
yeah. So Condor does everything. Workshops, servicing and clothing and bikes and custom bikes. That's all the things of a bike shop.
And you guys are sponsoring a team.
So he sponsors his team since 2007. So we sponsored Prozac and team for over 10 years.
Wow.
We started with Rafa, and then they moved on to Team Sky, and we continued the team with JLT, who's an insurance company. Commodore's always had teams. So since like 1948, when Honda started, there was a cycling team. So it's kind of in the bones of it. Through the years, there's been, you know, but Bradley Wiggins came originally as a junior and was riding for Commodore.
Wow.
And won like loads of races. And then Teo Gegenhart, he used to ride Honda. And people like the chap called Hugh Porter, who's like a commentator. He rode for Honda in the 60s and these other people. So we've always had a team. So now we have this like all-encompassing men's team, which is quite overwhelming. They go around the world. They rate, they've just been in Australia. And I think the main thing, the reason why you have a team is because you can test the bicycles inside and out. I mean, they go into like rigorous testing in the, like a lab situation where they get shaken around. But
that's not the same. It's not really actually riding it on a road and someone actually pulling at it. In.
Yeah. And then you can find out other things from that because you've got testing our frame, but we're testing other things like the saddles or wheels or tyres. And then you learn other stuff about other manufacturers' products and how something will wear as well. And then in our workshop, we can look out for that, you know, if something's going to wear. And it's quite stressful, the team, because we own it, so we have to continue to find the sponsors to pay the riders.
Mm.
But at the same time, you can have somebody like Teo go from, like, a kid. I remember Teo was, like, really small, and now he's, like, really tall. Now he rides for Team Sky. I mean, he didn't ever ride for a JLT Condor, but he still rode a Condor. For a few years, we helped him, and that's like really good. And that's really why Condor sponsors people. Well, Grant, our boss, is adamant we will continue to sponsor people.
He's had to watch them grow and see them go on and
be like part of British cycle sport, rather than like.
But no women's team.
But no women's team. We did have a women's team in about 2006-07 when Rafa Condor launched. They had a women's team to run alongside it, but unfortunately. I think they got mixed in with the wrong management. They were managed separately. There were bikes sort of going missing and people disappearing and not really doing. They were like, oh, yeah, I'll be in the team, and then not, and just it was all a bit of a mess. And then I started and we started the women's team again. And a sort of similar thing happened, actually. Some two riders stole their bikes. So it's quite difficult to... Sort of,
well, I guess if you don't pay them, they got to
go, oh, you can pay me in this bike.
Yeah. Like, their aim was, like, year one, just, like, starting level, like, London-based team, and then year two would do this. And so that happened, and then year two. And then it all just kind of fell apart, and people just kind of... In 2010, probably British Cycling, they didn't have the means or the aim to support women's cycling as they do now. People just, it was all a bit of a mess.
Yeah.
And even now, the UCI does not, I mean, they might have changed. I'm pretty sure that they don't have a minimum wage for women in cycling.
I don't think so.
So
it doesn't sound like them.
Other thing. And this year, last year, 2017, that was the first year British Cycling did equal pay for women in their elite level sporting events.
Wow.
So, I mean, British Cycling is so behind.
That's over a long time.
So you can see if you're someone trying to sponsor people and trying to make a change and help them, and your governing body's not helping you, then it's really difficult to get your brand to be exposed and you know, all the knock-on things. And so it's really difficult, really. I don't know how you'd fix it, actually. I haven't got that answer.
Or there's a lot of stuff that was out of your hands, like out of control, out of your control.
So there is a few like ladies that we support. And so instead of promoting a women's team, instead we tried to find some events that women could go to and put up a good prize fund and stuff and just promote general cycling.
Yeah.
However, when we did sort of sponsor an event, I said to the organizer, you need to make this equal to women. And he shouted me down. And so that event doesn't run anymore.
Cool.
And we put that same money we would have spent into doing like free servicing talks and stuff for everyone to attend and other stuff like that. So we've had that before. But last year, Pace Partnership said to us, would you? I think I read somewhere that the fixed gear crit was very unfair the year before at the knockdown. They had just men and women racing together. So who's going to win? Mm. It would be the guys. So he said, if you run that event again, because the Nocturne is associated with Condor, because Condor was a founding partner, you either don't do it, or we have to give you a prize for men and women that's equal, otherwise.
It's only fair.
Yeah. So that's what we tried to do. Mm. Obviously, it didn't go in my favour that one time, and the man shouted me down, and then I was embarrassed. So hopefully something like that where we can try to balance it.
Yeah.
Instead of like having a team right now. I know it's not ideal. We have looked at some teams recently. We can't.
I think if you can't do it well, don't do it, because it needs a lot of work. It's a lot of different factors of managing, and I think put your time and energy into supporting the scene however you can. It's way more productive than just not doing anything at all. I find sometimes with cycling, like, it's not that encouraged to just go and watch it. Because I like going to Thundercrit, the one that's at Lee Valley, because I like going there and drinking a beer and watching everybody. Yeah, yeah, but there isn't always a lot of people like me who actually don't really know that many people who race.
Yeah.
Because normally there's other people there, like, cheering somebody on, and they'd just be me like, yeah.
Go.
I know, I'm going to make friends now. You know, you'd be like, you, I like you now. Then you seem really weird cheering on some strangers.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now that Herne Hill, I really like Herne Hill, Condor, we work with Herne Hill. Now they have a licensed bar and they rebuilt the pavilion.
Ah.
It's a good place. You can go down there and sit there and be like,
yeah,
go number seven.
It becomes a place to hang out and spectate, and it's sheltered.
Yeah, that's a nice venue. They don't charge loads of money for things. They just...
No, it's really cheap. It's cheaper than Lee Valley if you want to do track.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've hosted cyclocross events there and they've charged us like £1.50 per person entered.
That's so nice. Good.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
They just charge you on the people.
That's clever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we couldn't do it at Herne Hill one year and we did a cyclocross race at Redbridge, Hog Hill, and they charged us like £5.50. You didn't break even. You should burn money.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just like... Why would anyone put on a cycle race? Mm. I mean, we put it on.
And then it becomes that kind of loop where people can't do it because they can't afford it. And then it doesn't happen because they can't afford it. And then no one wants to go to it because it's not happening.
Yeah.
And it's a vicious, vicious circle, because the more people that go that enjoy it, the better. Yeah.
Mm. I think we even had like 200 people take part in our event and we still didn't break even. And then we, as Vicious Fellow, decided, well, some other bloke did it last week, so you should better do it. You know, like a sort of charitable donation to the world.
Yeah.
175 quid or something. Split between 10 people in Vicious Fellows and £17.
Not that bad.
So everybody else can race.
Yeah. That's nice. That's a good thing to
do. But it's a risk.
I guess let's talk about cyclocross. Or do you want to just start explain Vicious Fellow to us?
Vicious
Fellow. For those who don't know, everyone hasn't seen their kit, really.
You'd have to,
look it up.
My friend Kevin and my friend Andy... We're both in Dulwich Paragon and they love cyclocross. This is about 11, 12 years ago. And it's also about the time that Rafa was coming in and they had a lot of black clothing. Everyone was wearing black. Kevin and Andy were a bit frustrated with Dulwich Paragon because they had nearly sort of 400 members.
Mm.
But they would go to an event, either not know anyone or no one would be wanting to help out at like a time trial. They'd go to a time trial and they'd see like a little lone guy on his own. He was also in Dutch Paragon and they'd just be like, do you want some help? And he was like, oh, yeah, thanks. And it's not really how a cycling club should be. It is meant to sort of be together.
Mm.
So they were like, oh, I've had enough of this. So they started Vicious Fellow, which is inspired by punk rock. And they deliberately designed the ugliest jersey they could.
It's really
hot. I think originally, before neon was available for the fire racer, the kit producer, they did it primary colour, so it was a bit more sort of weak, but it was quite good because it was rank.
Yeah.
Rank was good, I think.
Yeah.
Embrace the rank.
And people, we used to go to events and we were like, what? But now, it's like people are like, oh yeah, another one of those teams.
I think it's way more common now to have something garish.
Yeah.
But I remember even when I saw it a few years ago, it's like, oh my god, what is this?
Yeah.
I just saw it last week and I was like, I love it.
Oh,
I want it.
We had a special year where Kevin works at the White Cube Gallery. He's a proper good artist.
No way, cool.
But then I don't know what happened with our kit. That's what makes it cooler. Kevin just did this thing and he had a skull, we had a zebra arm and we had something else. And then we had on the inside of our shorts, I'm so bored of the UCI.
Great.
In your faces, everyone. You don't know about our secret motto. We did have somebody from British Cycling call us up because we have a little blog. It's not really updated much anymore. We used to have a lot of fingers going the other way in pictures, and they said, you need to be mindful what you're doing. And then,
is that what they
said? So I think Kevin said, is this a threat? And they're like, no, so warning. And we were like, oh. British Velo isn't like some big London clubs where anyone can join and it's for children and for everyone. This is not cliquey, but it's just for people who are really into helping each other in cyclocross. So if you want to come to a cyclocross race and ride it and then wait around and then help the other person, or like clean someone else's bike that's in your team, or help put out meters and meters of tape to organise a race, then you can be a vicious Velo.
And if you don't mind, punk rock.
Yeah,
we actually help each other.
There have been a few people that came and were in vicious Velo, and they never like came and helped out at events, and they never did.
They just wanted the kit.
They just wanted the kit. Which
those people are like,
oh. They should sign like a scroll agreement.
Yeah. Well, they should just scratch it in their arm.
Yeah.
That's
like a compass.
Yeah. A compass. And then I think Kevin had this idea of getting some hats made, because we wanted some hats for ourselves. And I think to get the hats made, there was like a minimum order of like 200.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
There's only 10 people in our team. Only 10. Damn, this works against us. Because the bar race are really good, and they were just like, we'll just make it like where as you need. But so we just have ones and twos.
Yeah.
Everyone has all different bits of kit from different eras and times and like nonsense.
So is there 10 members in total?
10 members, yeah. Sometimes maybe 8. Maybe there's more. Maybe 14, 15.
Depends. Who knows?
So we got these caps, actually, and that made me at Vicious Velo a bit more visible. But the money from selling the caps online paid for Dina and I to go to, like, Belgium to race.
Cool.
Amazing. Things like that. So thank you, whoever bought a cap.
Cool. Are they still for sale?
Yeah.
I think that was it.
You just sold them.
All. They're gone. That was the end.
The end.
Yeah.
Was that for, like, World Cyclocross Championships?
No, we couldn't enter that. No. British Cycling would be like, no, you're not very good. But we did other events that they let us in.
Sorry.
No, it's fine. I have a full-time job. I'm going to
be
We did other events that the world champion was in. She didn't lap me, which was great.
Coming up,
yeah, that's good. Delia finished 12th in one of those races.
Nice.
So really high up with some professional riders. And we got given money when we got to the race.
What?
We didn't pay the entry fee. They gave us money. And we were like, yes. And they were looking at our kit like, what?
And they're shaking their head very slowly. Yeah.
Other things that happen is people wait around after the race. Because in Belgium, you pay an entry. That's where cycling does work. You pay an entry fee and you go across this little like gate and into the cyclocross arena area. And they pay 10 euros and they get... We did a race. There were like 15,000 people there. And people knew my name. And a man came up to me and asked me for my autograph. I don't know if he was legit. He was weird. People wait around for you after the race and ask for your skin suit. And you're like, this is my only mum.
They ask what?
For your skin.
I like skin. And then they're like, ah, suit.
Yeah. We had to get fan cards made because people would walk up to us and be like, can we have a card with your picture and your name? And we'd be like,
what? We don't have
that. We don't have that. And then we used to have badges in Vicious Bellow with little punk sayings on. We tried to give them a badge and they just look at us like, what?
No.
No, I want the card. So they
was just, it like collecting?
They were collectors. Like, they had them in their books.
With a massive ring binder. Like,
yeah, that is exactly what they had.
Right.
And they're like, we've got Helen Wyman and this Helen Wyman picture and that Helen Wyman from 2008, 9, 10, 11, 12. You know, they have them all. They're like collectors. Wow. And then there was like a space for us. And then they knew, like, so one week we went across to Belgium. We did this big race. I think Helen Wyman won that one.
She's won loads.
Yeah.
She has won a lot.
The next week, your name is on the start list, so they knew we were going. And they'd gone on to Facebook and made their own card for us. The same people. The same
I love them. They're creepy.
That's creepy.
And brilliant because they knew you would do it.
Yeah.
And they just made did you it. And they made you sign it.
They made us sign it. And then my friend Paul was with, he's a Mr. Fellow, Poe, his name is. He sort of hung around because I was like, I'm just going to get changed after the race in the toilet area. And these guys were kind of waiting for our autograph, and Paul was a bit worried. And I, thank goodness, Paul was just waiting. So I think they're a bit odd. It is a bit odd, isn't it?
Mm. They're collecting you.
They're collecting weirdness. I was like, goodness, Paul's here.
That's so good.
Yeah, and then we have them. We have them for it. And then the next year, we were like, we better get on it. So we made them, but we made them in like Top Trump style.
Yeah, that's what I imagined they would be.
Yeah,
so they're your stats.
Yeah, but the stats were things that were stupid, like, viciousness, Delia has glasses, so like specky weirdo-ness, like 10. The ratings was in like two fingers salute.
Oh, wow.
Like, so I had like 0, so in glasses, and she had 10. And things like that. Cool. And they just looked at it like, oh, you've got the card, but you've done it wrong again.
I can imagine that moment in silence, like,
so close.
Yeah. Why have you put all this extra rubbish on there?
I cut the bottom bit off.
I'm going to go home with a little guillotine. Like,
I felt so stupid for having those cards. Because you know, there was like really famous cyclist women there. And you're like, I've got some cyclist cards made. What am I doing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like everybody else here is just like properly a cyclist, like has gone to the world champs and things like this. I'll find a photo and send it to you, the weird guy.
Yeah. Have you got a photo with him?
Oh, yeah. Me signing something, just feeling really awkward.
Oh, I do want to see that. Yeah. They feel the energy.
You'd be warming up on the turbo trainer because it's pretty cold, and then just be queuing up, and you could see him lurking. Paul and like Ben and like my friend Matt, they would just be like, yeah, we've got them. They want the signatures.
But they do this to everyone.
They do it to everyone.
Yeah.
It's not because of my kit or anything. They
it's not just a female thing. They do it to the men.
They do it to the men, yeah.
So they're like train spotters, but for cyclists.
Yeah.
Cyclocross. How did you get into it? Well, and what's your advice for anyone else?
About 10 years ago, someone said, Ben, who is the head of Zion Condor, said, you do road racing. Why don't you do cyclocross in the winter? It would improve your handling skills. So that's why I did it. And he said, there are some summer series races at Herne Hill. Do them. You can, because they're go races, so you don't need a race license. So it's a really easy turn. They're about £6. They might be £8 now. And then you just rock up. You can ride any bike you want. Just maybe don't ride a road bike because your tyres aren't wide enough. You can ride a mountain bike. I saw a woman with a hybrid take a rack on and off the bike before and after the race.
Great.
Mountain bike, anything, just to like, just try it. I found this bike in or something. We cobbled it together, and someone had previously clamped front mech so tight that the seat tube was dented in a bit. And when I went over any potholes or holes on the course, the headset was just like bang, bang. It was a bit dangerous.
Wow!
But I fell off and I cut my knee so bad that it bled all the way home.
Nice.
Yeah, I went back the next week.
I was like, just do it.
They still run summer series. Fifth Floor, the cycling club runs it now.
Mm.
There was one in North London, North East London, near the Vela Park, but not actually at the Vela Park.
Yeah.
You just rock up and then just like...
Any bike. What holds me back, like, I'd love to do it. I like the vibe. I really like mountain biking, but I don't get to do it. And I feel like it's a cross between the two disciplines. And road cycling just intimidates me. Yeah. But cyclocross seems like really chill and silly. But I've never done it before, and I'm worried about like handling and have to like run and jump on the bike or something.
So the one at Herne Hill and the one that Fifth Floor did, not Victoria Park, another park, they made it the summer one. There's no mud. There's griffy grass. No real difficult obstacles because it's designed to be an introduction.
Mm.
Also, Herne Hill do little introduction like lessons about getting on and off if you wanted to. When the Fifth Floor do it, they always do courses that are a little bit more sort of tamer, with like one obstacle, but it's accessible for everybody for getting on and off. Like people's mums do it and stuff, so it's fine. There was one I did, and it was just like around a field and all wiggly and stuff, and it was fine. There was no obstacles.
It's good to just practice and build up, and then
yeah, and then you can decide if you want to do like some races in the proper winter-esque.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't do a race now in the freezing cold mud.
So cold.
I do them up to like December, and then I'm like, yeah, I've had enough now. I don't like leaving my bike every day.
Are they listed anywhere?
Yeah. There's like three leagues in London that you can go to, depending on where you're based. There's probably like 15 leagues in the UK. In London, it's called the London Cross with a letter league. There's Summer Cross League. That's on Facebook. That's one run by Fifth Floor. And they generally promote it. Then there's the East Kent League. That's quite far south. It's near towards Dover. And then there's a Central League. They do some stuff at Hillingdon. That's what West London. Northwest like that. Yeah, it's quite a lot of leagues going on. You don't have to be a league member to do it. Just rock up, pay some money, have a go. And also, you don't have to keep... The thing about cyclocross I really like is in road cycling, you have to keep up with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then if you can't, then everyone's like, oh, keep going. Everyone knows.
And yeah, like, damn. Shame feeling. It's like PE again.
Yeah. But in cyclocross, you all just start together. Well, this...
No, isn't it laps, though, sometimes as well? So you don't know how someone's doing because of
yeah,
all
you're
all lapping
each other and everything.
Yeah.
So when the women, back when I used to do cyclocross like 10 years ago, they were the field, the size of the competitor field was way smaller. So it would be like the women, the juniors, men, vets, everybody else, the dog. You'd all just start together.
Yeah.
One go. Now there's like quite a lot of people in each category. So the women, there's probably about 30 women, all different types of ability. Some of them are like just runners and they're just doing it to like get a bit more into cycling.
Mm.
And then you go with the vet 50, so men are over 50. So
you get thrown in with them.
You get thrown in there. And some juniors, maybe some kids go. So you're all just
That's
messing
fun.
About together.
Yeah.
And the kids are on a different lap to you, so you'll do less time. And the kids, I think, have different gearing as well. So they're in a whole different ball game. So you're just riding around with somebody that you could be racing against or you're not. So it's quite fun.
I love it.
In that sense.
I like that breaks down that fear of, oh, I'm not doing very well.
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
It's more like everybody's just like a wacky racer.
Yeah.
It's mud.
There are some people at the front who take it like super serious. You know who you are. But then me in the middle, like trying to tackle something. It's in the more in like the winter thing. And if I get something wrong, I'm like, oh, gosh. Oh dear, and then you'll hear someone like, yeah, I did that too. You know, like where you're just like messing up.
Like, what kind of thing would go wrong?
Like, for example, like I ride around a bend and then I just misjudge like how wide the bend is and just like overcook it and just like rub my hand into the tape or just like,
it's like hot lava. You're like,
I watched the World Championships. And
that was an intense
groove. And there was a groove, like there was this little groove that had been made because everybody was going, and you see them like get stuck in it. So it's like a little mud,
it's a rut.
Track, a rut. Yeah, and then people getting stuck
literally
in
that.
And in cyclocross, you say commit to the rut, and basically you pedal into it.
Right.
And it's very scary, and you want to pull the brakes.
But don't.
And I always do, and then I get stuck and flip off because your like, wheels like.
Yeah,
but if you go fast into it and just let the rut pull you around like you're on a tram track,
yeah,
it sounds
right.
easy.
What it looks like
sounds easy, but it's scary.
Mm.
But those kind of things are not in like local cyclocross leagues; they're in like the World Championships. So yeah,
no ruts yet.
No
okay.
ruts. I like it when I'm going around and people go, "Come on, Dad!" You know, someone's dad's behind you. I'm like, yeah. There's a guy, he's got baggy shorts on, you know, whatever.
People get wacky costumes.
Some like, there's a secret cross-sit race.
Yeah, I can't remember what that's called. They're on, like, Instagram.
There was a Christmas one.
There was a Christmas
one. Monica was telling me about it. Yeah. I was like, I want to go, but don't know when it is or where it is.
Follow them on Instagram.
Secret cyclocross.
Yeah, and you have to dress up and you just bring beer. I think there might be an entry to
this. This sounds very
good. So you can just go and yell at people. You can just go and yell at people that are dressed up. Or
I'll drink the beer and shout at you.
Okay.
I'll do encouraging, positive, posy shouting.
Okay.
And be like,
Jenny's here to do cyclocross.
It's like, fuck!
Jenny's consumed a lot of mud. when do they do Incredibly Cross?
August, September, maybe one in November.
They don't do...
Cool. Maybe a Christmas one.
Who knows?
Yeah. I want to follow them.
I think they get prizes sometimes from good people as well. I mean, I don't want to say like that they'll do it again, but I've got some Levi jeans that I'm wearing now. I won them.
That you won them?
Really?
Yeah.
I love their description. London grassroots cross races, unsanctioned, unadulterated, and possibly a little unorganized.
Yeah. I need all of this. I'll put a link below so you can follow them.
Basically, follow them, and then they'll sort of give you a warning, like, there's a cross race coming up, and then you just got to keep your eyes peeled. And I think on the day, they'll give you postcode.
Sweet.
Or the meeting place, and then you ride to the arena.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Arena's a big word.
Yeah. I want to do it.
Let's do it.
Just keep your eyes peeled. Do it. What would you dress up as?
DVMix.
DVMix.
What? I don't know. I've got this like long flowing lace dress. Jenny. It would look really good muddy.
You told me a really funny story about when you dress up as the Mask.
Yeah.
What?
When Ropalooza used to do a cyclocross called Muddy Hell, it was a nighttime cyclocross race, they encouraged people to dress up. Some people didn't and then just did the race and won, which I think is cheating. I dressed up one year as the Mask. Yeah, I had a yellow suit and a green face.
Amazing.
And it ruined my skin so bad. Because you're sweating and then your body starts
to breathe.
And it's like,
oh, and the next, green, like, layer.
Yeah, and the next day it was like all weird and bumpy and gross. And I had this green suit and I made this wide yellow brimmed hat into my helmet sort of thing. Like the Mask.
I love the Mask.
That's so good.
It hasn't aged well, but it's...
I've never seen it.
It's quite... The acting's a bit ropey, actually.
Yeah.
But my trousers ripped off and went into my bike.
Oh, my God.
Like my Mask trousers.
Showtime.
like a shirt. They wore under my little blazer, my yellow blazer, and it rained so hard. The shirt went really super short. Luckily, like, I didn't have anything, like, terrible. And I had, like, just sportsy things underneath.
Yeah.
But it was a bit weird. I did dress as a vampire once. And then my cape got caught on some blackberries or something, a blackberry bush, and it ripped and pulled my neck. And I was like, oh, this was a bad idea.
This is why you don't wear capes.
Health and safety,
Do you once went as Rupert Murdoch? They processed for that news hacking thing years ago when they News of the World hacked loads of people.
She
was like a man, and then she had like News of the World like pinned to her like the newspaper.
Wow.
I was like, okay.
That's a bizarre.
It was a protest.
Fun trying to just guess what everybody's costumes are.
Somebody I remember, it's good. Google Muddy Hell photo. Oh, just got Google Muddy Hell.
I have looked at some that they're awesome because I had really good
floodlights.
But
they're not doing it anymore.
No. And Ben from Gondor, he went as the Spirit of Jazz, which is in the Mighty Boosh.
Yeah!
He also went as the Hitcher from the Mighty Boosh.
Oh, wow.
And the Hitcher has a polo mint.
Yeah.
And it made Ben's eye, like, he gave himself like a weird headache because this weird thing on his eye.
Because he's looking through a pinhole.
He put on this prosthetic nose as well.
Wow.
And he had green face paint.
Wow.
And people were like, who is in there? People didn't know who he was either. They were like, are you a witch?
he's like, Mighty Bush? And they're like, I'm sorry, what? Bush? You want to go find a bush? You've got a strong bush?
Kate Bush?
It's pronounced Kate Bush, not Mighty Bush. You're like, just leave it. I'm a witch. Yeah, I'm a witch.
I think also Andy from Bush Bella went in like a sort of gimp suit thing with only a little tiny mouth.
No. Almost careful.
And he was hot and I think he nearly fainted.
Oh, wow.
This is when you take cycling and dressing up too far. Yeah.
When you,
but I'm not pass out as a gimp on a bike. I'd just be there like, woo! Drinking a beer, like throw a can on it. Well done.
I can't wait to go. I can't wait. I'm going to have a hoot.
So I thought we'd end on, we wanted to know who you like following on Twitter and who you like following on Instagram.
Oh, as I was ready. Yeah. Kids getting hurt.
Kids getting hurt.
Oh
my god, I
want to
follow
them
now.
Garnet. Some of them are a bit rubbish, some of them are a bit
like. Or like animals doing things.
There's one that's like cats are idiots or cats hate you and just cats punching up people. I follow Yolanda Neff, who is a mountain biker. She's a world champion. She has hair like a poodle. That's why I follow her. She rides a hardtail mountain bike and it's sick. She's got crazy skill. And I follow loads of snowboarding people because they do flips in the air. Because I look at bikes all day, it's nice to look at.
Look at something bikes. Else. Yeah. Mm.
And the snowboarding girls do some crazy things. Amy Fuller. And they just, they do like crazy stunts. And you think, cycling's so dry.
Cycling stuff, they don't even go in the air.
I do some shots and they're going to flip in the air. I mean, how comes that?
Yeah.
And they sort of hurt their faces. But, you know, I also sometimes, I follow this kit, like women's kit, I think it's called. I just thought it might be have some women's kit on it. Obviously,
because of the name. Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm yet to decide.
Mm.
Christophe Ramon, he's a photographer in Belgium, and he took my photo once, and it was really amazing. But he takes really good photos. Pauline Prevot, PFP. Because I mostly follow her because she used to have a diamond that she used to stick in her tooth. But she stopped doing that now because she's, like, cool and stuff. But the Radivist, Teo, I follow him.
And then, yeah, tell us the little story about why we should be following Condor on Instagram.
Because sometimes when I'm bored.
That's already a good introduction to anything.
Sometimes when I have to do Insta stories, I hide little animals within the Insta story, like a goat. Favourite one is the bull. I like the sort of real things, not the cartoony ones. The
emoji.
Horse. The jockey. I like the jockey.
He's galloping. Jockey?
Also on JLT Condor's team one, I sometimes hide them there.
This is great.
So follow the accounts for this. Like I'm excited.
Factory tour, and then we'll just
and
the dragon. Little dragon in the background.
Dragon's good. The rabbit's good. They're all good. All emoji animals are good.
Thank you so much.
You. Oh,
thank you. Thank you for having me in this room that's 10 meters by 10 meters.
Yes, the big amazing echoing boat studio.
Full of Campagnolo hearts
and shame.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.